George read to you from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. You know that there are numerous passages in the New Testament which reinforce the vital importance of following the Lord Jesus' example of being baptized. It's chronicled in Matthew chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, and Luke chapter 3. And following Him in believers' baptism, we do that after we accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior. For example, when the large crowd heard Peter's accusations that they have crucified the one whom God had made Lord and Messiah in Acts chapter 2, they were cut to the heart. I hope you see that, where they said they were cut to the heart. Look at what Ezekiel wrote that God had him doing, having to do with a new heart. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then again, you see in Acts chapter 8, one of my favorite parts of Acts, and that's when the Ethiopian eunuch believed in the good news about Jesus, and he exclaims to Philip. He says, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" So they both immediately went down into the water. Philip baptized him, and when they came out of the water, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. We see further evidence in Paul's letters to the Romans, to the Corinthians, to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, to the Colossians. This is why our church, First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina, this is why our church is worshiping the Lord today through the observance of the sacred ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Jesus not only instructed His disciples on baptism and also on communion as an act of faith and obedience, both then and today. And I will tell you, I think for a whole lot more long time a-coming. But He was emphatic. He commanded us to keep on doing so until His return. Now, through the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, God made the promise to His people that He, Yahweh, Jehovah, He Himself would sprinkle clean water on them and they would be cleansed from their filthiness and sin. Ezekiel was a priest in Jerusalem when he was taken into exile to Babylon with King Jehoiachin in 597 BC. He didn't have his first vision from the Lord until 5 years after he was in exile. And his last one was in 571 BC. In other words, his prophecy and his visions spanned 20 years. The book of Ezekiel is that very symmetrical. Chapters 1 to 24 addresses the Lord's judgment on Jerusalem and on Judea, or Judah. Chapters 25 to 32 relate to the divine judgment on foreign enemies. And then chapters 35 to 48, which is where we find our passage today, this special day of celebration, proclaiming Yahweh's promise to restore Judah. This promise of future deliverance from the remnant of Judah, for why? Why did He do it? When George read that, when you read that in your Bible this morning, why did he do that? He did that for the sake of his own name. Among the nations, giving meaning to the petition. You know, in the part where we do every single week, which is so important in reciting and repeating the Lord's Prayer? It's from this type of passage where God says that His name will be hallowed. It will be sanctified. It will be made holy. It is a prayer that God will redeem His chosen people among the nations for God's own namesake. Now, after 70 years in exile, when the remnant of God's people, they finally returned to Jerusalem, they were still bound together with the Lord through the Old Covenant. Remember I talked about Old Covenant, Old Testament, New Covenant, New Testament? A covenant in the Old Testament were God's commands, laws. His part of the covenant was written on stone tablets. The Old Covenant, eventually you saw it was enslaving them to the power of sin, judgment, and eternal death because they could not live up to the laws of Moses. The Old Covenant was a very formalistic law that had to be taught and passed down from generation to generation. The Old Covenant was seemingly let God's people to be in a legal, or can I say this, in a very cold relationship, arm's length relationship with Yahweh. Or, as Ezekiel penned it, it caused their hearts to be of stone. Now watch this. Yet, I love this. Maybe it's another sermon. I would really love to do this. Even Ezekiel referenced glimpses of the new covenant. It was approaching on the horizon. The birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah could be analogized if you look in Ezekiel 37. It describes the resurrection with the hearts of flesh and God's Spirit being placed within them when He described the valley of dry bones. That would be a great, great sermon. Praise the Lord, we are bound together with the living God under a new covenant. I mean, not very often we have amens or clapping, but I'm going to tell you, to know that we are under the new covenant is something to say hallelujah about a whole lot. Because I will tell you, the angels, if you read in Revelation, the angels and the kings, they throw down their crowns and they say hallelujah over and over and over again. And who are we that we don't? We are under this new covenant wherein Jesus made it possible for God's laws to be written upon our hearts rather than on stones. We are no longer enslaved to sin, but rather, you and I were freed up by faith with a desire to love and to serve the Lord because of His grace towards you and me. If you read in Romans chapter 1, if anybody else says to you, where's God? How do I find God? How could you prove that God exists? Will you whip out your Bible? And if you don't have one, Al or Robert or Gideon's could give you one. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, it clearly conveys, for what can be known about God is plain to us, because God has showed it to us. Ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature, namely His eternal power and His deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. Now watch this. This is where I get a stomping. So we are without excuse. When Jesus came into your heart, He saved you. Once and for all. From all of your uncleanliness, and He began a personal and an intimate relationship with you. With a new heart. Wherein the very Holy Spirit of the living God Himself dwells. We are not orphans. We are not abandoned. We are heirs and children of Almighty God, who we worship and adore. No matter how impure your life is right now, God offers you and I a fresh start. You can have your sins washed away. You can receive a new heart from God and have His Spirit within you. If you accept God's promise and His personal invitation, Patrick and Dixie heard the invitation, but Lorelei, I could swear when she said about wanting to be baptized, I know Jesus, and I thought she was going to say, I want to be baptized. But she said, I want to be advertised. And I thought that was the best example. You could not find a better advertisement for what Jesus had done in her accepting her personal invitation to be cleansed by water from the hand of Holy God through Jesus Christ today. I don't want you to wait another moment. You come. We're going to do this in remembrance of Him for our communion right now. But at the end, I want to give you an opportunity that you can make a decision to follow Him as your Lord and Savior or to be baptized.